Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mark, in your Bibles, Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 28. I would ask you to please keep my wife in prayer. She couldn't even raise her head off the pillow today with a migraine all day in bed. So keep her in your prayers. Amen. We don't miss. She's not here tonight because she's not feeling well at all. Amen. Mark 5, 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, Jesus didn't tell her to say this, she said it, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Amen. Lord, right now, hallelujah, bless each one here tonight. God, they're here because they love you. Lord, I just ask you to touch and move in this place tonight. Hallelujah. God, I pray that you speak to hearts here tonight. Thank you, God, for what we felt already in this house. And I ask you right now just to touch us tonight in Jesus' name. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight in spite of my issues. In spite of my issues. You don't have to raise your hand, but you could say, each one of us could probably think of an issue that we deal with in life, in our physical, spiritual, financial, relational. Come on. You ever deal with an issue? Come on. Here, this woman, she was separated. She was alone. Maybe day after day, month after month, year after year, with no physical contact from other human beings. Her very presence caused some people who knew her condition to recoil in order to avoid their own contamination. You see, because people didn't want to be found unclean for dealing with this woman. For 12 years, life hemorrhaged from her body, leaving her weak, leaving her unclean in the eyes of her family and community. She was alone. She was cut off, hearing not only the whispers of her neighbors, but also the screams of her own self-condemnation. She had invested the little money that she had in one false hope after another to try to rid her of her plague, but to no avail. There was not a counselor, there was not a doctor who did not know her and tried to sell her on their remedy for her situation. She still got worse. She still got poorer. And with the walls of her condition and condemnation closing in on her, she finally realized that she could no longer live with those issues in her life. She had to act alone if necessary. She had to do something drastic if it needed to be. And when we first see her in the Bible, folks, she is weakly and walking and sometimes maybe crawling and pushing in desperation through the suffocating crowd to get to her one last best hope, Jesus. Look closely at this woman as she presses through the mob. Take a good look at her. Look at her face tonight, folks. She's trying so desperately to conceal from those around who would reject her and her request. And when you get close enough to discern this woman's features, you will find that she looks just like you. All of us have secret issues that hinder us. We have secret issues that we struggle, that keep us barren, that keeps us hidden. These issues tonight, issues of fear, issues of guilt, issues of shame, issues of hurt, issues of failure. Folks, they drain the abundant life from us. Now, regardless of the specific issues, all of us experience limitations in our walk in the kingdom of God. And just like it was with this woman's issues, there is only one answer, only one way to deal with our issues tonight. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, we must reach out to Jesus. Come on, hallelujah. You believe that tonight? Hallelujah. We must reach out to Jesus. What exactly is an issue? An issue is a condition. An issue is an attitude. An issue is a circumstance that robs us of the abundant life that Jesus has secured for us. Issues are those private, those secret things of our past and present that cause us to hinder, to block, to trouble, to hold hostage, abort, and even sometimes destroy our dreams and our hopes and our desires. Issues are the challenges, the problems, and the cries that attach themselves to us to block our success, to block our victory, to block our effectiveness in the kingdom of God. Folks, issues show up without invitation. They are like a flat tire on a car. Frustrating, time-consuming, and costly. The word issue has become a popular term in modern psychology. Before, we may have talked about besetting sins, but now we say that someone has an unresolved issue. But while we point accusing fingers at someone else, we overlook the fact that we are lugging around heavy bandage, heavy baggage of our own issues. What do issues look like? How do issues affect my life? Well, a lot of times, folks, issues are secret, aren't they? We don't want anybody else to know our issue. Issues are those uniquely personal things that we try to push out of our way. But on our own, we do not have the strength. We do not have the intellect to do this. So we hide these problems, these issues, from everyone. And we pray that nobody will find out. Nobody will discover the secret wounds, the imperfections that make us vulnerable. Luke chapter 12, verse 2 says, "The time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all." Just like this woman, our issues keep us separated from God and from our brothers and sisters. They keep us isolated and separated from other people. Why? Folks, we try to keep them to ourselves. And we may even try to hide them under a facade. You see, issues make us fear relationships. Issues make us fear ministry. Issues make us fear the intimacy with God and with others. We are frightened that we may appear vulnerable. Come on. Let's be honest here tonight. Amen. I think each and every one of us are frightened that we may appear vulnerable. You see, we want to keep it together, don't we? Isaiah 59, verse 2 says, it is your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Issues, folks, they flow from a source. The Greek word for issue is ruas, which means a flowing. Issues in our lives, such as fear, such as anger, such as bitterness, flow from a source in our past experience, in our past belief system. And until we deal with that source of these issues, hear me tonight, folks. Until we deal with the source of these issues, they will continue to flow throughout our life. And when this happens, we go through the same frustrating patterns of behavior over and over and over again. Can I get a witness here tonight? Come on, folks. We know. We are all. Let's be honest here. Romans 7, 21 through 25. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all of my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Issues result in character traits, and those character traits limit us. Not everything that happens in our lives. Hear me. Come on, listen to me right now. I'm telling you something here. Not everything that happens in our lives, folks, is an issue. Nor do we have to make it an issue out of everything. Come on. I'm talking to some of us here tonight. Circumstances don't become issues until they appear repeatedly in our lives. It's the difference between a flat tire and refusing to safely maintain your vehicle. You see, if you do proper maintenance on your car, a lot of times you can get rid of a lot of issues that will come. If you maintain your life and you walk according to the Word of God and you live after the Spirit, you can do away with a lot of issues that will come your way. Come on, worship Him right now. Worship Him right now. You cannot continue to live in sin and come to church and think you're okay just because you worship God. Oh, don't get quiet on me right now. We do things that we know are wrong, and we come to church and act like nothing happened. Just because people here may not know about it, He knows about it. Come on. Romans 14, 23, but if you have doubt about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. That wasn't enough. Here's another one. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I don't need to listen to the pastor. I can live for God. I don't need to sign the team paper. But you don't have to. I ain't going to use you. How's those apples? Come on. You know why have you signed those team papers? Because it shows me you want to do something for God. It shows me you want to live for God. Amen. And you will do whatever it takes to do something great for God. That was free. That's not in my notes. But let me tell you something else about issues, folks. Issues will trigger strong emotions. You see, the strongest emotion people with issues experience, here it is fear. And usually the fear of rejection if their issue is exposed. You see, this can be accomplished by shame. It can be accomplished by guilt. It can be accomplished by anger, frustration, hopelessness, despair. But on the other hand, hear me, the issue can trigger the emotional issue of other people, making honest relationships almost impossible. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Issues also result in bondage. And as we carry our issues with us year after year, we begin to adapt our lives to those issues. We see sometimes we would rather deal with it and adapt our lives to those issues than allow God to get rid of it, because we're prideful and we don't want to tell people. We don't want to ask for prayer. Come on. The woman with the issue of blood, folks, she had limited her entire existence to the secret issue that plagued her. A chain, folks, is only as strong as its weakest link. And our lives are only as effective as the issues that have been resolved. Now, too often we walk through life in a spiritual paranoia. And we allow our issues to direct our paths. Why are you living in that area? Well, you may not say anything to them, but it's my issue. That's why I'm here where I'm at. That's why I don't do anything. I don't get more involved in church because of my issues. Because I don't want anybody to know about my issue. Come on. Come on. Can I just be honest with you here tonight, folks? Do you think, you just think that pastor just being open and honest here tonight will help you? We limit what we do. You can sit here and say all you want that you want to do something great for God, but it always comes back to that issue. And you want to take that step, but issue says, uh-uh. You want to go further in doing great things for God, but issue says, that's far enough. And we just stay within our confines. Hold it. Hold it. That's enough. Issues. What is your issue tonight? Come on. So remember, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. 1 John 4:18, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, It is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Now, here's another thing about those old issues. Okay? This is one thing that drives me crazy. Because issues have excuses. Come on. Many talented people. Hear me. Anybody here talented tonight? Come on, look at me. Come on. Don't raise your hand. Just look at me. Many talented people headed for greatness instead find themselves disturbed or detoured, I'm sorry, detoured onto side roads full of doubt and full of hurt. And because the issues are allowed to grow unchecked, these people begin to think of themselves as victims. And you know what happens? This pushes them further away from their potential. I believe many of us, if not every one of us here tonight, I better change that. All of us have potential. Come on. But you've allowed your issues to push you further and further and further away from what God wants in your life. Folks, I think it's time we stop making excuses. You know what I hear the most? Well, I don't know what God wants for me. You wouldn't know it if God smacked you upside of the head if you keep making excuses. Well, let me tell you something God wants for every one of you, and that's to be soul winners. You can all do a Bible study. You can all love somebody to God. Come on. But oftentimes, because of issues, we don't want to make that commitment that needs to be made. And so we just use these excuses. Well, I just wish I knew what God wanted for me. Well, for one, let me tell you this right now. Hear me. For one, you hear your pastor preach about it all the time. Win soul! Come on. You're going to stand before God and say, well, I just wish you would have told me what you wanted. Your pastor preached it all the time. Can I get a smile? Thank you. Whew, I'm feeling better. He just took a load off. One issue gone. Ephesians 4:22 says this, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. That would help many of us. Hear me. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. If you're living any way like you lived before you met God, get rid of it. Come on. Which is corrupted by lust and deception. God wants to create a new creature. And if you're living the way you used to live before you met God, you're telling God, get out of my life. Read the scripture. Explain it to me any other way. Come on. If I'm wrong, explain it to me right now. Issues are part of the enemy's strategy. Come on. How many believe tonight the enemy has a strategy? Half of you. No, not even half. Do you believe tonight that the enemy has a strategy? He wants to take you to hell. Does anybody believe that tonight? There we go. Thank you. Folks, if you don't believe that, you're in trouble. I'm telling you, you're definitely not apostolic if you don't believe that. He's got a strategy. You see, frequently, our issues are used by hell to try to defeat us. Now, listen, folks, you got to believe this, because God didn't make Adam with issues. Adam created his own issues. God made Adam perfect. My God doesn't make junk. Come on. Adam probably was the only person ever to use his mind to full capacity. You know, what's the saying now? We use, what, anybody, what's the percentage of our mind they say we use today? Huh? 60? 3? I don't know. Did anybody use it? Anybody use their mind? Do I have one? Maybe I'm out of my mind. I don't know. But Adam was made perfect. I'm going to tell you, he didn't have issues until he disobeyed God. So the enemy will frequently use our issues to try to defeat us. Unchecked, they bind our present and future. They bind us with ropes of the past. Now don't tell me you don't get this from me. Well, it's because of how you were raised. Oh, that, remember that issue, that other issue you have? That's your mom's fault. Look at her family. Come on. Does the devil use your past, folks? So he uses things to try to defeat us. Does anybody here, let me ask this. Maybe this is a better way to ask. Is anybody here think that God, the devil wants you to go to heaven? God, I got 100%. Come on, folks. Let me have a little fun. Listen, unchecked, our issues bind our present and our future with the ropes of the past, right? They scream sickening reminders of our defilement. They scream these sickening reminders of our unworthiness. And they keep us cowering in the dark away from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We know how he works. He's been dealing the same. He's too stupid to use anything else. He comes back at us the same way, over and over and over again. Now we must understand that until our deliverance comes, the kingdom of God goes on in spite of our issues. Even with our limitations, even with our imperfections, we are somehow still useful to God. That's, as I said, in spite of our limitations, in spite of our issues. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace, thank God for his grace, amen? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Or you could say, my strength is made perfect in my issues. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in thine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Remember Paul said, hey, I want to do good, but there's something inside of me that won't let me? Mark 5. So, folks, how can I find healing for our issues? Mark 5 gives us three principles that if we are to find healing and wholeness in our issues, and folks, we have to exhaust it. We must come to the point where our resources are exhausted and we realize that we cannot heal ourselves. God, I've tried everything. I don't know where else to go but to you. I don't know what else to do, God. He says, that's right where I want you. We often deal with the symptoms. But rarely we deal with the roots of the issues. We try to band-aid it. And that's because no issue has ever been settled by touching man. Folks, we have to touch Jesus. If man went to the hospital with an arrow in his chest, the doctor doesn't just give him painkillers and send him to a seminar to learn how to manage life with an arrow in his chest. Come on. The only way to bring lasting healing is to turn him over to a skilled surgeon. Jesus is that physician, because only he can remove the roots of our issues. You see, our issues must be brought out into the light. We have to expose it in order to be healed. And they will never miraculously vanish on their own. In fact, they may be pushed under the rug or in denial, but they will always reappear until we bring them to Jesus. I talked to a young man years ago, and I looked at him and I pointed my finger and I said, listen, until you deal with this issue, and he knew exactly what I was talking about, you need to deal with it now. Because the last thing you want to do is to be working in the kingdom and thinking you got this under control, and all of a sudden that thing raises its ugly head and it'll take you down. We got to get in there and cut it out at the root. And only Jesus can do that. You can't just put a band-aid on it. You remember how your mother told you that some cuts only heal if they're left uncovered and exposed to fresh air? Can't keep a band-aid on it forever. That's like our spiritual wounds. Exposure, the thing that we fear the most, is what heals us, folks. It's not exposure to others. You see, the woman's neighbors couldn't heal her. But being honest before God is how she got her healing. The woman with the issue of blood risked everything on her life in the ability of Jesus to restore her, because she expected restoration. And this requires total trust. Issues that have been surrendered to the Lord will bring glory to the Lord. After all, if we could handle our own issues, think about this. If we could handle our own issues, who would get the credit? Come on. We would get it, right? Is that what God wants to have for us to have glory, or does he want to be glorified? Amen? You see, this woman was desperate enough to reach out to Jesus. I ask you tonight, are you desperate enough to reach out to Jesus? Now look at this. Prior to her miracle, Jesus never talked to her. He didn't even touch her. He was busy with the crowd, was he not? But, listen to me, her faith was so strong in Jesus that just the fringe of his garment was enough for her restoration, for her healing. Folks, it wasn't dramatic. It wasn't really impressive. It was actually quite simple. But understand this. It worked. It worked. Let me ask you tonight. Let's stand. Let me ask you this. Think about this real quick. Hang on. How much of Jesus is enough to heal your issue? I'll ask it again. How much of Jesus is enough to heal your issue. Is there anybody here tonight that wants to get rid of your issue? Can you bring it to this altar? Can you just say, if I go to that altar tonight, I can get rid of this issue? Come on. She just said, all I need to do is touch the fringe of his garment. Come on. Do you have an issue here tonight? Can you just tell yourself, just like she did? Listen, Jesus didn't talk to her before she went. He didn't even touch her. She said, if I go to the altar tonight, God is going to take my issue.